meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Two, one, go!
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
Yeah.
Tonight, James Marsters is going to be in here. He is Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And you know how we work, Drew.
How?
We just we meet so many people, have difficulty with names.
Yeah.
Remembering when people are in here last.
Oh, yeah.
And I told you I just go by feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm never wrong, good or bad.
Yeah.
I have a medium feeling about it. No. James was a good guy.
Yeah, you've always said that.
He hasn't been here for quite some time, but I remember him being a good guy, and I suspect if memory serves, he'll be a good guy this time.
Yeah.
All right, Drew, what's going on?
Nothing. How are you doing?
Doing good?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got, was pretty S-faced last night when I rolled in here.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was drunk.
Yeah. You
yeah.
Sobered up towards the end. Did a good job.
Sobered up. Held my own.
Dude, you're especially good with the...
Well,
no, it was much better.
That was real booze speaking.
Yeah, it was real garble.
Yeah, I didn't eat anything for dinner. I was sleep deprived. I must have had 6-7 shots of vodka on Jimmy's show, and was just.
How did that look to you in retrospect?
Didn't remember a lot of what was going on. But then what happens is I had a decent buzz when I saw it, even when I got home.
Oh, yeah.
Last night.
So
it you know?
Didn't hurt so much.
Well, how dare you? I'm a pro.
I didn't see it.
Now, here's the thing. I you know, when I get drunk or high, I'm able to maintain.
Right.
I don't give the appearance of somebody who's coming undone, whereas Jimmy looks like Jim Ignatowski from
yes,
Taxi.
He yeah, he does.
You know what I'm saying?
Loses it, yeah.
His hair actually moves. Like, this drunker he gets, the more stone he gets, the more his hair starts moving.
Well, because it was one at a time. He's like,
so it happens. His eyes start closing and his hair starts heading up. Yeah, when you got the Brillo, doesn't matter.
I thought you were good last night. You're
smoke a bong in a wind tunnel, my hair wouldn't move. Oh, you thought I was good on Jimmy's show?
No, you're on this show.
Oh, yeah, it was fine. Yeah, Cheryl Hines was nice.
You abused her a little bit. But
did I?
Yeah, well, she was all right.
She was a solid lady.
Absolutely.
All right, so anyway, James should be in here soon enough. But we always have you. Sherry?
Yes.
You're 25?
Wait, I'm sorry. Can we replay one thing that you said last night?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Actually, we heard it 100 times.
Let's do it one more time.
You know what the ladies like? They like giving me oral.
Just the inflection at the end there was just nice.
The inflection
touch.
Is so not
yeah.
Oh. I know what the ladies like. They like giving me oral.
So emphatic.
Yeah, so I had a couple shots of Kamchatka before I came in here. It's all right. Takes the edge off.
Mm-hmm.
Loosens me up. You know, a lot of great performers back in the day.
You and Jackie Gleason?
Dean Martin. All the greats.
All the greats died of liver disease? That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, but before they died of liver disease, they laid out great entertainment for America.
Earlier in their disease, you're right.
Yeah. Just a little something to take the edge off, loosen up the feet and the tongue a little bit. Sherry?
Mm-hmm.
Or Cherie?
Cherie.
You're 25, so what's up?
When I get canker sores, and that's a form of herpes, right?
Yes.
Can I give that to my husband by giving oral sex?
Possibly. Not necessarily, but possibly.
We always try to avoid that. Like, if he has a canker sore, we don't have oral sex with me.
Okay.
I didn't know if it was a different type of herpes.
Yeah, it is.
Let me
is.
Ask that, Drew, because someone gets a mosquito bite on their forehead, or I get a nick shaving, you start screaming herpes.
Or you have herpes.
Everything is herpes.
Why do you think that?
Everything
thing is
herpes.
Why do you think that thing is the neck that responds to Valtrex, surprisingly?
It responds to it.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything to it.
Okay. Then why do I give it to you?
Oh, because we're friends.
Yeah.
Right, now listen, everything is herpes in your mind.
Okay.
Everything.
Everything. Make that assumption.
If there's an open something, it's herpes, especially around the mouth.
Till proven otherwise. All right.
Okay. And you always say cold sores are herpes too.
A type, yeah.
But if they're not contagious, then what? They're not really herpes. I mean, for all intent and purposes, it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't. Some of them don't really matter. It's hard to tell. That's the problem. The ones that are, you know, big cold sores on the outside of your mouth,
right?
Definitely herpes.
Right. But like but on the lip
the
or on the
little,
inside
the
of the mouth?
Tiny white ones may not be contagious.
Mm. All right, Cherie?
Yes.
All right, well, okay. So if he has any open crater-like wounds on his mouth. He shouldn't be going down on you.
No, we don't do that anyways.
That's good.
But I was just really, I've always wondered. I've had him since I was a kid, so yeah. I know that I didn't get him from oral sex.
How often do you get him?
I'm sorry. I get him a lot.
How often?
A couple times a month. Mm. Or if I bite the inside of my mouth.
Right. That's how they usually occur. They usually occur from breaks in the lining of the mouth.
Well, maybe she should go on that suppressive therapy and fix the pills.
No.
Well, stop biting yourself then.
Oh, I do it on accident.
Hmm. Okay, really? You have that little control over lip flap, huh?
I did it 2 times today in the same spot.
Oh, you big gal?
No.
No?
No.
180?
No.
190?
No.
Smaller?
Lower.
Huh?
Lower.
Lower?
Yes.
But not much.
Why do you say that?
I can tell. 172.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's kind of chunky.
No, that's not big.
No.
The reason that happens is the cheeks get inside the...
Cheeks get big.
And get inside the teeth, between the teeth.
Oh, is that where she's biting herself?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just because she's you know, when you put down a 6-foot sub that aggressively...
No.
You do it like a sword swallower?
No, it's the stuff, the soft tissue gets stuck.
All right. James Marsters is here, by the way. Here, lean forward there, James, is speaking to the microphone.
Hello
and,
there.
Thanks for turning that on, Anderson. How are you, James?
I'm doing well.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
James, of course, is on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, 8 o'clock on UPN. 7th season, and it seems like you haven't been in here for a while. Is that true?
I think it's been like a year.
That's what Ann said.
And yeah, but I've been listening to you on the radio all the time. I drive. I've got family up in the north, so I'm always on the road.
Yeah, you're from that area, right? You went to high school in Modesto?
Mm-hmm. Valley boy.
And let's see. I'm reading your bio here. You have a scar on your elbow from when you were mugged.
My eyebrow.
Oh, elbow. Yeah. No, it says eyebrow.
Are you still loaded?
It says eyebrow.
Got a paper cut.
Yeah. What happened? When were you mugged?
Oh, I've been mugged so many times.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, who has it, Adam? Come on.
Well, I've been rolled, but I have not been mugged.
This particular time, I was coming back from bartending, and I was living in a bad part of Queens, down by the water in Astoria.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking home, and got jumped. You know, guy came up and just pasted me with some brass knuckles before
really?
He said hello or anything.
No.
Just, hello, yeah. And then he said, give me your money, and I said, you.
How and, quaint, brass yeah. knuckles.
Yeah.
It's like you were walking home from the 50s or something. Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, no, yeah. So, yeah, then the friends jumped on, and I was carrying a bag with a comic book and dirty underwear in it.
Really?
I had like
you're into that, huh?
Yeah, into dirty
It was your underwear?
Books. Yeah.
Why were you carrying a bag with a comic book and dirty underwear in it?
At that time, I was like I was in a band, and we were just kind of, I don't know, sleeping in different people's places.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Kind of loose.
You know, I was thinking about the waterfront.
Yeah.
The water. Mm-hmm. It's either really good, like Malibu and the colonies, or it's really bad.
Yes, like pirates.
Well, not pirates, but talking about like, you know, Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, not, you know, old days.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Pirates,
Chicago's
you idiot.
Chicago's got pretty good.
No, I mean, it's
I'm
like...
Chicago too.
No, I'm thinking of like, you know, down by the pier kind of thing.
Yeah,
and,
well, the underbelly.
The bad part. The underbelly. Yeah. The seedy underbelly of town.
Yeah, it's like... But modern-day, latter-day pirates, you know what I mean? Like, that's sort of the...
All right, Drew, quite down.
Yeah, this is like a bombed-out place. Comment. I mean, for real, there was like a lot of ruins, and like at that point I was living, I didn't have glass on my windows.
Really?
I had newspaper on my windows, yeah.
Foil is the classy window covering.
Yeah, but I didn't have the intelligence to use foil.
All right, well, so now look at you. Make a ton of money.
Finally, yeah.
You got all these websites. You got a bunch of chicks chasing you, right?
Yeah, actually physically chasing me now, which is...
Right, with brass knuckles on. And your band is playing, when is it playing? This week at the Knitting Factory?
This weekend on the Knitting Factory. It's Saturday and Sunday. And we're going to release our album.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right, so Knitting Factory, Saturday and Sunday, you can just call the Knitting Factory. They're like in Los Angeles, I guess they'd be listed under.
Oh, yeah.
And also, of course, Buffy the Vampire Slayer Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock. All right, let's take some phone calls. You know how this goes. Veronica?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Sam.
What's up?
I was just wondering, like, how early is too early to have sex?
8 a.m.
About 8 a.m.? True, you beat me. You're like I was swallowing water. You're 17, you're a virgin?
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah.
Before 16 is actually too early.
You have a boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been together for a while?
Relatively.
How long?
Relatively long.
How long?
Relative.
A month or two.
Yeah, see, it's actually not very long.
And you're really getting into this?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you are getting into it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you sound awfully tentative now. Why don't you wait till you're assured, you're positive it's what you want to do?
Yeah, you should be able to make him wait 3 months.
Yeah.
You can't, yeah, he should wait at least wait 3 months.
Yeah, I'd like to work out the weightage scale. Like, what I mean is 15-year-old guy can wait till infinity. I mean, not till he's 80, but I mean, if he stayed 15, he should be able to stay in his 15-year-old holding pattern for forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drew, over
wait,
here, bud.
Wait.
I need you to focus on me tonight, okay?
Why? Why?
Quiet down.
That guy. That
quiet.
Stop.
Shut up.
No.
I'm talking. I have a magic button here that can shut you up.
I know.
All right, so quiet down.
Okay.
All right, 15 forever as a guy.
Yeah.
16, guy could wait 6 months, between like four,
oh, yes,
seven, 8 months,
oh, yeah,
you know?
17, 3 months.
17, get between,
two,
between three and five,
yeah, yeah,
somewhere. 18, it's, you got, 18, I'd say about somewhere between like 6 weeks and 3 months or something, you know? And then after 18, it's, you get the chlorophyll out if,
well, it was even more so
chloroform,
after 21,
yeah,
the women start wondering what's the matter with the guy if it's nothing's happened after 3 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
What's up with him?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But if
he doesn't
you
like me,
at your
gay
age, if you can't make him wait for 3 months, he doesn't really love you anyway. I hate to
yeah
say.
Right.
I mean, yeah. He should hold out for
well
that.
Well, wait a minute. He may be like pressure. He may be in his mid-30s now. How old is he, Veronica?
20.
Yeah. Uh-oh. See, he's in a different bracket. It's not
yeah
the 17-year-old bracket.
What are you dating a 20-year-old?
Well, I'm over at the U, so the U of M. So
the U.
He's over at the U. We're here at the US.
You graduated early high school, or you just...
I'm PSEO, which is like a state thing. They let me take college courses, and they pay for it.
Does your buddy know that you're a high school student?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Hmm.
Could be a little legality issue here. Let me look that up. Seems like in Minnesota.
What's PSEO? What?
PSEO. It's like a state-based thingy.
Why? Because you're too smart for
yep
high school?
Yep, that's right.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
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 Yep.
What are you going to do when you graduate?
Swaziland,
well, I'm already admitted.
Tunisia.
I'm going to be starting, technically starting my sophomore year next semester.
Minnesota at 16.
What do you want to do, though, for a living?
Well, I'm planning on either, like, getting a Bachelor in Fine Arts and then going from there, I guess.
All right.
Yeah.
You should get another degree afterwards.
Should be
so much
teaching
time
or something.
Yeah.
All right there, baby. What was your next question? You have a question for James?
Well, yeah. I never knew that he didn't have an accent. Why do they have you have an accent on that show?
Because I think the boss lived in England for a while, and
he just
wanted
cool
a punk rocker. He wanted an original punk rocker, yeah.
Wow, well, you fooled me.
Ha ha.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm a big faker.
Yeah, it's good, though. That's talent. I can't do any voices. Drew, you can't do any voices, can you?
Not that I'm aware of.
You do the Opera Man, right?
Yeah, I do Opera Man.
Really?
Yeah, but you get paid for saying something. I get paid for doing funny voices.
Well, that's mm-hmm true, but I wonder how Opera Man would sound. Okay, Anderson.
Yeah? I was going to say you got Tim the Russian rapper.
I got Tim the Russian rapper, but what about the opera guy? All right, forget it. Once in a while, here's the deal.
Do you want me to play the song?
Yeah, once in a while, I try to cue. Once in a while, I attempt. God forbid I goddamn cue Anderson ever about anything. I mean,
you want to know why I didn't play it? Well,
nah, forget it. Forget it.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
No.
Don't do it.
Screw you.
No, but there's a reason.
Why? Why?
This is how it sounds. You got to hold on, hold on, hold on. It's not cued.
All right. Enough.
But now we got to play it.
That's true. It's true on Ben Stein's show. What
nice
were you wearing? Were you wearing
nice
a cape?
Is that yeah, was,
is that
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah.
Were you wearing
nice
a cape and a ruffled shirt?
That's nice like a vampire. Big high collar.
Big
with
high
red, red silk.
Half a mask.
You got a good low undertone under there, man.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Parents made him take opera class
my
when he was young.
Cringing now.
Your opera teachers?
Oh, yeah.
I got taught opera, like vocal production in college, but they used to try to beat it into you.
Mm-hmm.
Did they beat it into you?
No.
Three, two, three.
Yeah, yeah. No. Well, okay. We'll talk at the break. It's a long story.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Kevin?
Yeah, hey, Adam.
You're 13?
Yep.
What's up?
Before I start, I just want to say that you are my God.
Thank you.
Dr. Drew, you're my Jesus. And Anderson, you're my saint.
All right. The that apostles. Seems about
apostles.
Right.
Jesus and the apostles.
Oh, thank you very much.
What's James? One of the Romans?
No. I'm bad, aren't I?
Anyway.
Yeah. Satan's spawn.
I just wanted to know if it's possible for your penis to bend if you masturbate too much.
It's possible, but it usually isn't a big deal. Otherwise, we'd be a country of meandering peni. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Well, just to play it safe.
Yeah, you can actually get to the G-spot better if your penis does bend that way.
Really? Well, it goes up. Yeah. Not to the side.
If, no. if there's a problem, take
but,
some...
you think with jerky, you know.
Vitamin E, there's some evidence that Peyronie's type plaques in the penis that make it curve to one side can get better with 800 units of vitamin E a day.
Okay.
All right.
How many units is that? How many pills is that?
Two, usually.
Two?
Mm.
All right. What is that, all fish oil?
No. It's vitamin E oil.
What's A&D? Is that...
It's A&D.
What's the fish oil?
That's the omega fatty acids.
Yeah, but there's a number. There's a...
It's not a vitamin.
Yeah, there is.
Maybe they put A or in there with it or something.
There's like A or B or D or something.
Something in
there. D? I don't know. E? Whatever it is. I'll like belch up a flounder after eating one of those things. It's nice.
Yeah.
Tell and vitamin B. I'm sorry.
Tell everyone I just got done going down on my old lady. Mandy?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
First of all, I just wanted to say, I swear you guys are my gods. I listen to your show, like, every night.
Hmm.
And I want to say, James, you're a total hottie.
Thank you.
All right. Last year, I went out with this guy for about 9 months, and he was 13, I was 13 at the time. And he broke up with me because I wouldn't have sex with him.
Hmm.
And now, like, since he did that, I've been acting like a total slut.
You mean you have been having sex with other guys?
No.
No, just...
But I'll act like I will, and I don't understand why I do that.
You want to get the attention. I know, when a woman starts, when a girl starts to become a woman and she realizes that she can hold people's attention this way, and then I think a lot of women do that, or a lot of young women do that.
However, isn't there kind of a quality to what she's describing that suggests sort of a compulsive reenactment of something?
Mm.
Like, there's this, he wants to have sex, she won't do it, so goddamn it, she's going to go act it out multiple times.
Mm.
And never quite has sex. Did somebody try to touch you or do something to you when you were younger?
No.
Nothing like that?
No.
So, what is it that you're doing specifically with these guys?
There's this one guy that I really like, and instead of just, like, doing the normal, like, flirting with him type of thing, I'll, like, tell him I want to have sex with him, and I'll flash him and stuff like that, and I'll, like, flash him my thong, stuff like that.
Oh, flash him your thong.
Yeah.
14 and a thong.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Yeah.
You know, I think that you really can get a male's attention with a lot less.
Yeah.
But you really can. Guys are so horny.
There's something
going on here.
There's something trauma about it.
All right, where's your dad? You.
Yeah.
Mandy,
where's your dad?
Oh, my dad's not around. My mom left and mom is too.
When you were two. Why?
Just cause.
No. Oh, yeah, just got up one day. I think I'll leave dad.
Just cause?
Hold on a second.
Hey, Mandy, I got to get rid of you.
Well, there's
I can't, Mandy's, I can't talk to the Mandys of the world. I feel badly for them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry they're confused, but I can't play handball against the drapes.
I'm with you,
the whole night.
There is a quality to what's going on there, that there was some sort of triggering there of this guy leaving around sexuality, and so she now compulsively goes out and has to connect in a sexual way with guys and then abandon them.
Yeah. Well, issues with abandoning daddy, no doubt about
that.
Okay. And listen, everybody who calls this show, no answers, no because. You know, we say, like, how many years have you been together? Don't tell us a lot. Don't say because. It's not, non-answers won't work. And we always have to go back and revisit every question on this show. Steve?
Yeah. Hey there?
Yeah.
Hi.
You're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Henry. Yeah. Touchy-feely stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. All right.
That was loud and clear.
Let's
take a break.
Now, I refuse to go out on that downer. Find me some troubled teen. All right, let's fix Chris. And
ooh.
Brian
ooh,
says four.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah, yeah.
Evelyn?
Yeah.
You're 19? What's up?
Yeah. Okay, last night this guy slept over at my house, and, like, we're kind of talking or whatever. And he slept over, and then in the morning, you know, he woke up, and I was going to take him home. And I was like, it was all sweaty in my bed. And I was like, oh, you know, were you sweating? And he didn't say anything. So I took him home. And then in the morning, like, when I got back home, it was, like, wet, and I smelled it, and it was pee.
Good time.
I've done that before.
Don't lie.
Oh, what do you mean? I'm not lying. Oh, no, I've done this to way more than one woman.
No, but he wasn't. Were you drunk?
Yes. I'm usually. Was it dark outside?
No, he wasn't even drunk.
All right, I'm telling you. Yeah, okay.
Were you drunk?
I've been. Hold on.
When guys do this, usually they've been drinking.
Yeah, but not every time. I mean, yeah. I've dreamt I was on the toilet a few times. All right.
There you go. It happens.
That's the thing. If you don't want that to happen again, don't sleep with him again. Cause
I know, but what do I tell him? I don't know what to do. Like, you know, because I like him, but I don't want to be
if
like...
If you like him, let this be something you kind of poke... Well, how would you add him? So you slept over there. What could a girl have said to you during one of those episodes that made it funny or interesting? Or
I don't know. Mine didn't come out so good.
What happened?
Well, she got a little weird, like, you know, and I turned into a child.
Oh.
And, then, you know, like, yeah, you wet the bed even when you're 24. You're like, I made pee-pee.
Oh.
And she's like, and I'm like, we got a flippy mattressy. I made no pee-pee. And she's like, all right. So she's like,
oh, I misunderstood.
She, like, flipped the mattress over, and she's like, you know, we can only flip this once. You know, I'm like, yeah, I know. Okay, it's cool. And then for the rest of the time we're together, you know, I'd be drinking a beer at, like, 4 in the afternoon. She'd go, you sure it's a good idea? So close to bedtime. I'd be like, we're not going to bed for another 11 hours, you know?
Is that the one where you're having the dream?
That's enough with the beer.
Is that the one where you're having the dream about the fjords of...
little gladiator thing I was doing. You know what it was? I was in armor. I was in armor in this dream, and I was struggling to get the armor off.
Right, right.
And, you know, armor, there's no fly in armor, my friend.
It's rivets.
And
it's bolts.
There's no, you know, there's no yarn that ties it around the waist or any of that kind. There's no tie string or anything. It stuff's bolted together.
Yeah, so I'm like a pulling. Guy's putting that on again.
I'm tugging. I'm unstrapping. And
just killed a bunch of people.
Killed people, but now I had to kill an insect with this urine. And I was out in front of a castle, actually. I know it sounds ridiculous. And I got all the stuff undone, and I pulled it off, and I was just standing out there, like, to the side of the drawbridge. Yeah.
Peeing into the moat?
Oh, yeah, I was just like, oh, Christ, what a day. I killed a bunch of Hun I don't know who I was fighting. Mongols. Some warring tribe. And now I'm whizzing, and this is great, and I was just whizzing all over. And I was about three-quarters of the way into it, and then it was like, oh, wait a minute. I was looking at the bad texture coating on a ceiling all of a sudden.
Kind of cheese ceiling.
Yeah, and I was like, where's this come in? And I was like, oh, my God, I'm whizzing all over the place. You know, it's funny, you're still peeing while you're thinking. Like, it's not stopped coming out during this process, you know? There's a good solid three count before it stops after you know where you are and what you're doing, you know?
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, still going. Yeah, so that was bad news.
That was a good time.
I had to wake up the old lady.
Oh, yeah. What was she? You had to wake her up?
Well, it was a mess.
She wasn't awake?
No, you know,
so you got to decide whether to make
urine,
her up or not.
You know, urine doesn't come out like a mountain stream or anything. I mean, it's body temperature. You can soak in it.
Right.
You know, you don't feel it.
Oh, I see.
That's the curse of urine. I mean... If you have a big comforter on you and you're soaking it in your body temperatured urine,
right.
You don't really
till later. Yeah,
you don't really feel that. It doesn't jump out at you.
Right.
See, I thought this lady's guy did peed on her for a sexual thing.
No.
I think he just wet. Evelyn.
Yeah.
He wasn't. He didn't do this on purpose, did he?
No, not an art.
Okay. He's all right.
Guess what?
Yeah.
His ass was as big as.
Oh. She made that call up.
Wow.
Shut up! All right, let's take a little break. James Marsters is here from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He is the English accented Spike from the show, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. James Marsters is our guest tonight from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock on UPN. He is Spike. He has an English accent in Buffy the Vampire Slayer that proves he's an actor. And I really am. I'm impressed by people who can pull that off.
I know that. You always talk about that. People that can create characters or voices.
No, just well, you know, really all, the voices.
There are so many actors that can do that, but they're in theater.
Right.
They're all over the country.
You know, oh, I know. Every guy I ever worked with in an improv troupe could do, you know, he did, oh, English. Well, you want the you want proper British, or do you want Cockney, or which province are we talking about?
And, like, and but you always have this annoying phase when you're a young adult, when you're the annoying guy who does a bunch of accents, which nobody likes.
Mm. Yeah, it's always annoying when they slide into him for no apparent reason. Also, his band is playing at the Knitting Factory, which is coming up this weekend, right? Saturday and Sunday?
And we're starting to tighten up. I swear to God, we played the Crest 2 weeks ago up in Sacramento. It was 1,000 people, and we were good.
Really? That's good.
We actually got off the stage saying, you know, that was tight.
And you got a CD coming out, or are you going into a studio?
Nope, we were in a studio. We were up at Pus Cavern up in Sacramento over the summer. When we first got together and we cut an album. And we're going to go back in the studio and cut a second one before we lose our drummer, who's going to think I'm going to go to South America.
And drum or smoke weed and surf?
No, man. He's going to go on a mission.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like a missionary-type mission?
Like a Mormon mission.
Wow.
Yeah. He's a hellify. Can I say hellify?
Yeah.
Drummer and a jazz drummer.
Wow. Yeah those are the best kind.
Fabulous. Our bassist is the same way. He's a jazz player who does rock and roll.
Seems that's like the Doors. Mm. All right, let's talk to JR, who's 23. JR?
Hi.
Hey.
Hey. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Well. Okay. Let me just start off with my question here before I start to screw everybody up.
Sure.
Okay, since the age of 3, I've been sexually molested off and on. At 16, I was brutally raped. Mm-hmm. Now I'm 23, I have a 3-year-old daughter, and I'm a healthy person, I'm not crazy, and I tend to deal with life fine.
How did you overcome the history?
You know, I to be honest, it's something I'm dealing with now. It's just a lot of repressed. I just try to forget about it. You know, I did the counseling thing. I did group counseling.
Well, you can't forget about it because it leaves sort of an implicit wiring in your brain.
Right, which is something I'm extremely dealing with the past, I'd say, 2 weeks. And it just started all kind of flowing back, I guess, trying to forget about it for so long. It's coming back, and that's my question, is that it's kind of running into my sex life.
Well, how'd the brutal rape go? Who did this?
It was a neighbor in an apartment complex that I lived in when I was 16, somebody I went to school with, somebody I befriended, just broke into my apartment and basically, you know, took me there, and it was bad. I mean, I know he pistol-whipped me. I was tied to the bed. It was not a pleasant experience. He then got caught. He was able to go to the boys' ranch for a wonderful 9 months and then let out.
Really?
So for me, you know, at 16...
Hey, he was a minor?
Yeah, he was under 18.
Mm-hmm. And even with the pistol whipping, I mean, you have a weapon involved with the rape and you tie this person up and
they could never find... They never found the gun that he actually hit me with. So, therefore, I don't know if they use that as an, you know, if we can't find it, well, we can't use that against him to say that he actually hurt you with that.
Right.
So, as far as, you know, he didn't try to kill me, even though I thought he was going to.
Yeah.
I mean, it was full-on brutal rape.
All right.
And it's something that, you know, I was very scared for years and years to even have sex.
Wow. So, what's going on now?
Well, I'm with my fiancé, been together for 6 months, and he's a very mellow guy. I am... intentionally just I love sex and I'm intense when it comes to it.
Oh yeah.
As far as it's been going lately, I like rough sex. I like my hair pulled. I like to be bitten. I like to be bent over. I like to be spanked. I mean, I basically just want to be hurt.
If it wasn't for the brutal rape story, I'd probably be beating off at this point. But
right.
Now I've come to a crossroads in my sack.
It's a conflict,
saying?
Huh?
Yeah, I'm torn.
Well,
it's
Adam,
like if your mom is really hot, you know what I mean? What do you do?
What's that, dear?
It's you know, he's just very gentle, and he
Yeah. Have you told him you need this level of arousal in order
to... Yeah,
and
he's afraid he's going to hurt me, and there's been times I've told him to spank me, and he gives me a tap, and I'm like, you know, effing hit me hard.
Yeah, I think it's two things. A, if it ain't in you, it ain't in you.
Yeah.
It's not really so much I'm scared I'm going to hurt you. It's more just like, I don't dance.
Right.
You know, I mean, number one. Number two, he's playing in to your
pathology,
trauma and your pathology.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if somebody, you know, if somebody was raped brutally that I was married to and was the mother of my children and she's like, you know, spit on me and call me a whore, I wouldn't feel good participating in that.
You'd
yeah,
do
I know,
it.
And see, I know
oh, yeah.
that, and I feel guilty for it.
It didn't sound like I wasn't going to do it, did it, Drew? No, you got a lot of unfinished business here, JR.
Yeah, and when somebody hasn't been traumatized, that kind of thing can feel, like, impossible.
So what do I do? I mean, do I just go on and pretend to have nice, romantic,
No, I think you're going to have to get some therapy for all you've been through.
But I've done that.
No, no.
You did some group stuff a million years ago.
You need, like, many, 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 many years of work here.
Well, and I know there's something wrong with me in the sense that other girlfriends that I have, they don't do that stuff.
Well, but
they weren't traumatized.
Yeah,
this is
that wiring that's laid down in the right side of your brain. This is an implicit memory, and it's the way you experience yourself as a sexual being, and it may even be disavowed aspects of yourself that you can't experience any other way. It makes you feel, you know, you can't touch them unless you're feeling bad and dirty.
Yeah, which is true, and I like to be called bad names. And
yeah, that's not because, ooh, that's fun and that's how I feel sexual. It's because there's some real, real hurt, awful, desperate feelings there that need to be integrated in the rest of your being.
Because the thing is, if you're denying what happened when you were younger, you've actually had to rewire your brain.
Right.
And it doesn't work quite as well as it probably should.
Right.
And a lot of things kind of go sideways because of that. And that's not going to stop unless you go back and do the hard work and really deal with those early experiences, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And listen, you say two kids?
No, I have just one. Just a 3-year-old daughter.
All right. That's enough for a while, by the way.
Well, yeah, and I'm happy and content with that. You know, we're going to be getting married here soon, and we have a great relationship.
Yeah, I know. But your daughter's got a mama who's got some serious issues raising her.
Yeah.
And,
well, I was a single mom for a long time until the last 6 months, so it's been hard.
Yeah, I know, but here's what I'm saying. You have to get you have to be fit.
As
you
a mom.
Have to be fit like a pilot can't be drunk, because you're not the only one in the plane.
Right.
You understand?
No, I understand.
And I know you want to get some temporary relief in the form of a hand across your ass and a tug on the hair, but that's not going to cure anything. All right, and you got your daughter, so it's time to get some help, all right?
You got it.
All right, take care of yourself.
Guys.
She'll probably always want some kind of rough stuff, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But not when it completely takes over.
Right.
No, and yeah, she just has to deal with her past.
Yeah.
That's
it. She has to.
Yeah, especially someone who's been through what she's been through. Chris?
Hello?
You're 18?
How you doing? Yeah.
Good.
First of all, I want to say, first time caller, long time listener, your show rocks.
Thanks.
Adam, nice opera. I mean,
Thank you.
And do you remember this movie you were in, Adam? It was like with Freddie Prinze Jr. and like that chick from Save the Last Dance.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. I was like, dude, there's Adam Carolla. It was really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice job.
Yeah, what's her name?
Chris?
No.
Oh, what's mine? Sorry,
no,
what
not yours. What was the chick's name? Julia Stiles, that's
right.
Oh,
that's what it is, yeah. I can never think of her name. I'm just like, oh, Save the Last Dance, because that's the movie she was in.
Yeah, it's one of the few movies I did that actually came out without cutting me out of it.
Pretty cool. The Mad Show, dude.
Or what, go directly to
video.
Video, yeah.
Yeah, with me in it, right. All right, Chris, thanks. What's your question?
Okay, no, I was fingering my girlfriend last night.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my finger, like, slid into this little thing. It was like this flesh kind of ring of skin type thing, and I was, like, wondering what it was.
Maybe her hymen?
Yeah, how far in is that?
Not very.
6-8 feet.
Really?
Yeah.
Should be about...
It was kind of like along the wall of her vagina.
Yeah, probably a hymen.
There's a hymen? Or what was left of it?
Or what?
Does she have a hymen?
I didn't feel one.
You having sex with her? Just a fingering?
Yeah, well, like oral.
You're old-fashioned, right?
What do you mean by that?
Oh, you know, not ready to have intercourse, just a good finger banging.
Well, yeah.
Oral.
She says she's not ready for sex. I'm like, yeah, I'm not either, but like dry sex, like just like panties and boxers type thing.
Yeah, how old is she?
She's 18.
All right. Yeah, when's she going to be ready?
I don't know.
How long have you guys been together?
Like almost a month on the 6th.
All right. I'll be sending out a basket and a windbreaker on a six.
Nice.
All right. Don't worry about what's going on down there. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Taking it slow. They're 18. Not been together a month yet. That's fine. Drew, what is that ring? Think it's her hymen?
Yeah, I do.
Well, why is it? It's like his finger went through it, though.
He can.
Really?
Yeah.
But I thought the hymen was like a mini tramp inside your vagina.
But it's got some openings in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Harold. Harold?
What's up, man?
What's up?
I got my girl pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
We've been together 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
How old is she?
She's 19.
Okay, how pregnant is she?
She's 4 months.
4 months. All right.
We were going to get married. We got engaged.
Uh-huh.
And then one day she was talking to her mom, and she just come home and told me that she didn't want to be with me anymore.
Why not?
She didn't say. She said she didn't know.
This is one of those guys that goes, I can't understand it, yet we heard her side of the story.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Did you do any? Did you get caught cheating?
No. I'm fully dedicated to her. I mean, once I found out she was pregnant.
Oh, how about before she was pregnant?
Do what?
How about before she was pregnant?
We were just honky-dory. I mean, it was like one of those things, one of those relationships that are kind of just nothing goes wrong.
All right, so this was, were you guys living together?
We had got our own place, and we were together for, like, in the apartment for, like, 2 weeks.
All right, so you were living together.
Mm-hmm.
And did she move out?
Yeah. She just come home and said, I'm moving out. And
where did she move?
Her mom and dad come and got her stuff, and she went to her mom and dad.
She went, moved back home. Is she sort of a chaotic person?
No, she's just nice as could be, and she's like, never says nothing bad about anybody.
If we asked her parents, what would they say about you?
I don't know. I think her parents are kind of two-faced.
Yeah, well, what would they say about you?
They always tell me they thought I was a decent person. I mean, I work 40, 50 hours a week.
Why do you say they think you're two-faced then?
No, I said I think they are.
Why?
Why do you think they're two-faced?
The way they act towards me. I think they're only nice to my face.
And what do you think they would say behind your back?
They're hard to explain because her dad is like, won't say nothing at all to me about anything. Like, if we get into their vehicle, he won't even ask me to buckle up my seatbelt. He'll ask her to ask me to buckle up my seatbelt.
So, well, wait, I thought he was nice to your face.
He is nice. He's
all right.
Hold
on a second. Oh, poor Harold. Imagine Harold as a dad, by the way.
Oh.
I mean, the kid's going to be smarter than he is when he gets to his second birthday, for Christ's sake. Oh, my God. Young idiots cranking out the kids. It's going to be the end of this society. I can't stand it. And look, I have no idea what Harold's talking about. And Harold seems like he has zero ability to read what's going on in
cannot
his
assess,
environment.
Cannot assess reality.
What's up with their... You know, what's up with the parents? Oh, they're two-faced. Well, what do you mean? Oh, they're nice. They're great when they're with me. But then I think they say things behind my back. Well, what do they do when they're with you? The dad won't talk to me.
Won't speak to me.
It's like, Harold. Harold.
Yeah.
Listen, buddy. You understand you're having a conversation with two sober, intelligent people who don't know what you're saying.
Okay.
All right. Now, what do you mean the dad is two-faced? I the part where he's nice to your face, but then he won't talk to you, what does that mean?
He's not nice to your face.
While we were together, he was just nice as could be. He'd always make jokes and laugh and giggle.
But he wouldn't talk to you.
Fine. And she moved back home, and now he won't even talk to me. I mean, we walked by each other about a basketball game, and he won't even look at me. He just walked
right
by me.
Is he mad that you got her pregnant?
Like I said, to my face, he didn't say anything. He just said it's something that we were going to have to deal with.
Yeah, we're trying to speculate here, Harold. You understand? We're trying to use you because you're the person who's in this story
and
to
you
give
know
us a
the
gauge
people. Yeah.
Of what's going on.
Do you think he's mad that you got her pregnant?
He said he wasn't.
So but I thought he wasn't talking to you.
The day we both walked in there and sat in their front room and told him that she was pregnant.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Harold, I don't think we're going to get from you what is really going on here. I think it's got to be more than her just deciding she's moving home and not giving you a reason. I don't totally believe, and I'm not calling you a liar, that she didn't give you a reason. She just said no reason?
She just changed.
Huh?
She said maybe she just changed.
All right.
She didn't know how to deal with it.
I think she's out. I think this is it.
But why she's out, I don't know.
We don't know. But
we'd have to talk to her.
But she's out.
She can go a couple of days without talking to me, and then she'll call me up and tell me that she loves me and she misses me.
Well, she's a troubled person.
Yeah.
And then the next day she tells me that I'm smothering her and that I don't need to.
We'd have to talk to her.
All right. Harold?
Yeah.
Here's why you can't get people pregnant. Sorry. I know you're going through a tough time. It's happened to many a young man. It will pass. You keep your job. Don't start getting into booze or drugs or anything. It'll sort itself out.
Are you into booze or drugs?
I drink a beer every now and then, but I don't touch anything else.
All right. All right, Harold, you got to keep your job, and you got to keep moving forward, and you got to stay on your path.
Uh-huh.
And this'll work its way out, or it won't. Either way, you'll move on.
Yeah, nothing Harold can do about it.
Right. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
But look, this... You want to know what dad sounds like about 80% of the time in this country? That's it.
Harold?
That's Harold.
Woo.
People raising kids and this screwball broad of his, and he's moving home, and who cares? All right, let's take a break here, Drew. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew just knocked his coffee over, everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, he's about to do it again.
No, it's nothing in there. Don't worry.
Yeah. Drew, you're a little clumsy. Are you a little clumsy?
Yeah, like paddles for hands.
Yeah, you're not smooth.
No.
You don't move like a ninja like I do.
Like you
do.
No, not like you.
You're banging your mic all the time. Mm. You knock stuff over.
Especially when I'm tired.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's awful.
James Marsters is our guest tonight. Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Hello.
Also, he's got a little bronchitis tonight, so you got to bear with him.
Yeah, I'm panicking because I'm singing in front of 1,000 people.
Oh, that's
LA
right.
LA Times is going to be there on Saturday, and I've got bronchitis.
Nice. He's going to be at the Knitting Factory this Saturday and Sunday in Los
Angeles.
Come
see me.
Christina?
Hi.
Hey, girl, you're 18.
Yeah.
What's up now?
I had a couple questions for James.
Here he is.
Hello there.
Hi, James. Oh, my God, I love you so much. I think you're so hot.
Thank you, darling, but they use a lot of makeup.
Actually, I was wondering, first, what it's like working with Joss Whedon.
Well, you know, Joss breaks story and he edits a lot, but he's not directing anymore.
Oh, really?
Which really bums me out. But when he does direct, he's the most specific. He takes the most takes, and nobody can tell him no for anything because he's Joss. So they gave him all the cranes and special shots that he wants, and you always get a really good show.
Uh-huh.
But he's always he's a jester. It's kind of like Adam. He likes to kind of stir it up a little bit with humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put people off the guard.
I was also wondering what your favorite episode is of Buffy is. Like, what was your...
It was the one that scared me the most. The one where I had to wear that wig and be William.
And talk like this.
Yeah. That terrified me.
Oh, okay.
He's got some coughing to do. Christina?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's hot in person, James is.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm...
All right. He's got a hack away. We'll go to the next call. But thanks for calling. Jake?
Yeah, thanks.
I'm here.
You're 17?
Yep.
What's up?
About a month ago, you guys took a call about a girl that was asking about her her guy's unit in comparison to his size. And Drew said something real quick about a fatter guy has a smaller dick because of estrogen or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering if Drew could kind of elaborate on that, because I'm a guy and
speculating. Adipose tissues converts testosterone to estrogen, and you can, you might get some change in your size if you lost a lot of weight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, it's just one of those relative things when you got the big thighs rubbing together and the gut hanging over it, and you get that you actually get that little pouch right at the pubes there.
That sort of always envelops the penis.
Always a nice look at the Y, yeah. That sort of sharpe over the penis.
Call it penis.
Yeah, it's bad times, yeah. So just from that standpoint, you know, I mean, I always say it's like this. You got your mailbox out on the lawn. You let your lawn get up to 2 feet. The mailbox post is going to look shorter. You trim it nice and short, you know what I mean? It looks like, that's why I trim my pubes.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I want that airmail coming in. So, Jake.
Yeah.
How much you weigh?
I weigh 260.
How tall are you?
6 foot.
Okay, so how much weight do you want to lose?
Doctors tell me I should be about 180, 190.
All right, so you on a diet?
Yeah, and I was doing school sports and stuff, but I recently tore my ACL, so I'm taking a big breakout right now.
All right, we got to take it easy on the food.
Yeah. I'm trying.
All right, buddy.
I just want to say, hey, you guys are awesome. I listen to your show every night.
All right, Jake.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Thanks.
Take care.
Welcome, Jake.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Break.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. James Marsters is here tonight. Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer is also going to be playing at the Knitting Factory with his band out here in Los Angeles on Saturday and Sunday. If the tuberculosis doesn't kill him.
Yep.
And possibly us, too. I got... Yep.
You're infected. This is a big disease.
I got a nice James Phlegm floater on top of my coffee.
Oh, it's nice.
And you just peel it off. Like, you know when you put pudding in the refrigerator, Drew?
Yeah, the little layer that gets on top.
You just peel that off.
Yeah, it's good.
Get the coffee.
It's good times.
Yeah.
Got your souvenir.
Fine. Probably use it as a coaster. Joe?
Hey, how you doing?
You're 24?
Yep.
What's up?
I have a question for you for Dr. Drew.
Yeah?
And first I want to say thanks. You guys are helping me get through law school up here in New England.
Wow.
Late nights here.
Yeah.
Now. The question I had is about my girlfriend and myself. I'm uncut, and recently when we were going at it,
I went uncut and meant a certain kind of album.
No. I'm circumcised.
Okay.
And I ripped the lower part. I guess they call the frenulum.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And it seems to heal, and then when I go for it again,
re-tear. Yeah, this is one of the problems with being uncircumcised is that you can get these tears not just in the frenulum, but actually in the prepuce, in the foreskin itself. And when it heals up, sometimes it will narrow down, it will kind of scar down, and then it's painful to bring the head of the penis out, and then it tears again, and it's a real mess.
Yeah, so what do you do?
Why don't you do this?
Yeah.
Why don't you peel your foreskin back and keep it back and just try to get used to wearing it that way? then it won't shrink and it'll be used to getting back there, and then it won't tear.
No, it doesn't shrink up at all. It's just like,
try this, and if you got to use one of those twist ties that come with a baggie, so be it. Just pull it back. Try that. Try keeping it back.
You probably ought to see a urologist just to see if there's something that can give you some maybe antibiotic cream or something.
Yeah,
and it's possible you need a circumcision.
Really, at this age?
Yeah.
How long does that take?
A couple weeks.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right.
Good times.
Try wearing it out. Pulling the turtle out of the shell and keeping it there for a while. See what happens.
Yeah, it's not really that, though. It's going to bottom. But
I know, but...
He's saying it'll heal in a way that will make it more conducive to it being out.
Well, also, because you got the skin sliding around. Isn't that where the tearing comes from?
Yeah, on the bottom, yeah.
Yeah, so but it won't
like
do that.
It's like transverse.
It won't do that if it's pegged back.
And the drier, the better the healing, too. So.
Okay.
All right, try that.
I will.
Do it now. No, right now.
Yeah, I'm reading right now, man.
No, I know, but you can read and reach at the same time. Come on, do it.
I'm typing.
Do it for me.
I'll try.
No, I mean now.
Right this second?
Yeah, do it now, Joe. I don't believe you.
I can't do it now, man.
Why not?
I'm reading cases.
I'm not telling you to bang your girlfriend right now. I'm telling you, pull your foreskin back.
All right, whatever.
Do it.
Yeah.
He's not going to let you go. We're going to sit here.
I'm reading.
We're going to sit here until it happens.
By the way, what kind of excuse is reading?
Oh, man, don't even... First year law, reading is
brutal. I know, but you can't take 10 seconds and touch your dork for a big celebrity?
then you're out.
Get it out. Is it out?
It's out, baby.
You
rip
sure?
out that bad boy.
Well, it ain't out, but it's back.
It's back. Skin's back?
Oh, yeah.
I smack it against the phone. I can tell. I know what it sounds like.
Okay.
All right, keep it back. I'm telling you. If it's uncomfortable to wear pants, just put a towel on.
Keep it dry.
Yeah. It's good times. All right. Let's talk to D, who's 46. D?
Uh-huh.
Hey.
Hey, hey.
What's
you
up?
You talk a lot. What do you want?
What?
I'm waiting for you to ask a question.
What are you, drunk?
No.
What happened to you, baby?
What happened to me? Oh, it's all been done before.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
No, seriously, I'm certifiable.
Did you get raped or abused or something?
Okay, I got a story. Yeah, when I was young, I was molested.
Mm-hmm.
Went into the mental health system for 20 years, came out and think I'm somebody who I'm not.
Well, maybe that's good. I mean, maybe
it's all good, right?
No, well, maybe you don't want to be who you were.
Are you in a hospital right now?
Nope.
What's that beeping?
The telephone's giving out.
It's
got to be recharged.
You doing all right? You able to work?
Yeah.
Really?
You are? What do you do?
I don't want to give too much information, but I'm a...
I think she's going to say this is like Baptist minister.
Bat girl.
Her. Bat girl.
Byzantine spy.
Priest.
Boy. 20 years?
In the system.
In the system.
Mm.
It's a lot of life going
then
by.
Then clothes roll came around, got her out.
What happened?
Mm-hmm. Some advancement in the antipsychotic medications.
Really? What's it called?
Clozaril.
Clozaril?
Clozaril.
Really?
Clozaril, some people say.
And that worked and it got around?
I bet. I'm just guessing.
Well, when did that come around?
10 years ago.
Yeah, man. Like even the last 5 years. And certainly the last 10 years. Yeah.
And that made people who are in this situation capable of getting out?
Sometimes, yeah.
Well, that's good. All right. And listen, all you... jack-offs out there that rail against these psychiatric drugs. Really, it puts gets people out of their slippers.
Before and, that was nothing. You just had to, I mean, they were basically just taken away and put in the silence.
Walk around with a bathrobe that ties in the back, wearing their bunny slippers. That was their whole life. Carrying around a drool bucket. Now they're in some crappy apartment, stringing beads for $4 a foot.
The crazy thing we have in our country. Things like schizophrenia is a degeneration of certain pathways in the brain. They break down. They aren't there anymore. Things that repress functions of certain parts of the brain cause symptoms like hearing voices and seeing things, getting confused. I think Beautiful Mind did some good in helping people understand that process a little bit.
Right.
What that's like.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Interesting.
Kathleen?
Yeah.
You're 26?
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, goodness, I'm having a panic attack right now.
How come?
Well, just from being on the radio.
All right, just pretend it's us.
Okay.
Nobody else. I suspect there is nobody else.
Anyways.
That's the way I look at this show.
We got nothing to do. What's
so
up?
So this is pretty much for Dr. Drew.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a year of sobriety right now.
What drug?
Marijuana, mostly.
Okay.
And everything is so much better. But now, my addiction is masturbation.
Mm-hmm. How many times?
Well, it can be once or twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
Is that too much?
Nah.
No. That's not an addiction. That is you trying to manage affect. That as more genuine affect emerges, that you're no longer suppressing with drugs,
okay.
Your brain tries to do something with it. That's the addict brain. You always have to do something with it.
Yeah.
What you'll experience is a sense of kind of like boredom or maybe irritability, agitation. But boredom is the one feeling that comes through, and you got to go do something.
Yeah.
And that is some of that is post-acute withdrawal. How long have you been sober?
Just a little over a year.
Yeah. So that stuff can last about a year. And then the tendency just to try to manipulate your affect states, your feelings, through arousal is something that addicts are driven to do. And if you've been sexually abused or traumatized...
I don't think I have.
But if you have been traumatized in some way, then it really puts some rocket fuel behind all that. Otherwise...
Yeah, but I'm going to make this observation. Once or twice a day...
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah,
not
I mean,
excessive.
Like, I can sort of hope
like,
not.
From a female standpoint, like, you know, that seems like a lot to me. Like, no. Any other females call in? Do normal females?
You know what? Normal females have such a huge range of normal.
Yeah. What am I thinking? Yeah, there is no normal.
Well, there is. There is. There's abnormal. Let's put it that way. But you're not necessarily that. The way to judge it is it real out of control behavior? I mean, is it having consequences? And I think the more important thing is to look at it from the standpoint of, are you missing opportunities to get into more difficult material in your recovery and sort of covering it with this?
Yeah, it's kind of acting out.
Yeah. So you know, just really be honest about it with your sponsor and work on it. Yeah.
What do you, do you look at something?
Yeah, I like porn.
You do?
Yeah.
My kind of lady. What kind of porn?
You know, I was talking to somebody about this earlier tonight. I like hardcore stuff.
Yeah, just guy-girl kind of stuff.
I like girl-girl stuff, too.
How'd that conversation go? Was it with your mom or priest?
No, it was not with my mom. A funny thing happened. I was at school today, and I was just emailing, and I got this instant message, and it was from a guy. Then, of course, the conversation goes straight into porn.
Right.
Mm. And
that's smooth. Those guys are smooth.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, absolutely. And I never do that.
Yeah.
I never, ever, ever, like, chat with someone.
All right. Well, do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Be careful. Women that get addictively preoccupied with the web tend to be in the chat room areas.
I know. It was just now I could see, like, was talking to my room, I could see how people can get addicted to that.
Yeah.
Like, all these things are just coming out.
When was your last date?
last month.
Before you got into this addicted mode, were you sort of deprived sexually a little bit? Did you withhold?
No, I've been pretty much, this whole year of sobriety has been pretty much all about cigarettes and caffeine and masturbation.
No, but before you got going on this, were you into a little bit of deprivation? Were you sort of sexually anorectic?
Maybe before I ever got into my addiction and alcoholism?
Before you got into your masturbation, was there a period you went through at any point in your life?
That sort of, I didn't.
So you withheld sex.
All right, listen. I can't go on lap number 13.
Yeah, the point I was saying is that people that have compulsions often will go through periods of deprivation, too. Mm.
All right, don't beat yourself up. Quit poking yourself so much.
I think that the right to masturbate is like under the Constitution, under, you know, the pursuit of happiness, isn't it?
That's code for that.
I hope
I didn't even look at that as code. I choose to
take
masturbation.
It that way.
Yes.
Pursuit of happiness.
Masturbation.
Okay.
All right. Alexandra?
Yes.
You're 16?
I am.
What's up?
Okay, my whole family are really big Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
6'6", 6'7".
280, 285. Keep going,
play
baby.
For BYU.
Shush up. Go ahead.
Okay, and, you know, I've had to go to church every Sunday my whole life, and I hate it. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in any of that holy stuff.
Right.
You know, and ever for like 2 years now,
there she goes. Yeah.
I've been rebelling as much as I could, you know, just so I can show my mom I don't want to be involved in any of this.
Yeah. Well, so it's more like just so you could piss your mom off because you're angry about her for manipulating you.
Yeah, I've told her that I don't believe in God. I've told her.
Well, how'd she take that?
Huh?
How did she take that?
Not very good.
What'd she say?
She said, well, since you don't believe in him, I'm just going to make you go every Sunday now. And you're going to make, and she's making me go to, like, seminary now and everything like that.
All right. So there was a good plan.
Until you do believe in him?
Yeah.
Just tell her that you believe in him so you don't have to go to all the stuff.
Yeah, I tell her that, though.
Mm-hmm.
You do tell her you believe now.
Big smile.
But that's lying.
Yeah, that's all right. What are you, scared it's a sin? You pagan?
It's an equivocation.
Because when you lie, you know, you just lie more, and then you get you into a whole lot of trouble, and I don't do that.
Okay, let me try to size up this family. Your parents have money?
No.
They don't?
No. We have a nice house. It's the house my mom grew up in, though.
Uh-huh.
Did she have money?
What's your dad do?
My dad doesn't live with us.
Oh, you just live with your mom?
Yeah.
What does she do?
She works at the post office.
Okay. But and once in a while, you see someone who's making $37,000 a year living in a $2 million house. It's always fun. Actually, it's every neighbor I have. It's a hillbillies come in and squat after the old man kicks off. And it's always abundantly apparent because they can't take care of the house. They drive really crappy cars. And they're sort of low lives who really, really should not be living in these houses. Yet it's really, it's a Beverly Hillbillies kind of thing. They call the pool the cement pond. Mm-hmm. They're out firing the 12-gauge shotgun every morning, trying to get breakfast. So, Alexandra, here's the deal. Your dad left. He's out of the picture?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And meanwhile, you're mad at your mom.
Mm-hmm.
You probably should be madder at your dad than you are at your mom.
Right.
Because your mom works hard, and she hung in there, and she tried to put some semblance of a life together for you.
Dad's the one that
took off. Your cowardly a-hole dad just abandoned you?
Yes.
And I know you have some feelings about dad, but you also probably idealize him a little bit, too, and take a lot of the crap that's meant for him and dump it in, on a mom's tray.
Right.
Okay, so you're 16.
Yeah.
Your mom's busting her ass. She's doing the best she can. She's a pain in the ass. I don't go for all this religious crap either. But you better play nice, get your grades up, and go far away to school and start experimenting with lesbian relationships. All right? That's my 18-month plan for you.
Okay.
When are you going to be 17?
I'm going to be 17 in March.
In March. So are you in the 11th grade? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. So you got the rest of this year and then one more senior year to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, get your grades good. Get those SAT scores up.
I have A's and B's, actually.
Good. You take those PSATs and then the SATs, and you go off to some college in the Bay Area, all right?
Okay.
And you're done with your mom. But in the meantime, don't ride the woman. She works at the post office. She's doing what she can, and it's really your dad you should have the beef with.
Okay.
All right. Screw that guy. When's the last time you talked to him?
I've actually never met him.
Good. Mm. He's an idiot. You'd only be disappointed.
Yeah, from what I've heard.
Okay. Cut your mom some slack. She's working hard.
Okay.
All right. This happens all the time. It's really unfair that the parent that skips out sort of gets off scot-free, not only sometimes financially and from a time standpoint, but emotionally they get off. The kid ends up idealizing that kid like he's some kind of war veteran who died in action and giving all the crap to the one who has to lay the rules down. You know, you're not going out in the tube top. No, yeah, your boyfriend's not sleeping over.
But then the dad doesn't get a relationship with his daughter.
I know, but... He doesn't care. Yeah, he's an idiot. It's like he looks at, hey, I nailed this chick. I shot my load and it didn't cost me anything. It's great. Sons of bitches. That's really, I really hope. You know what I hope?
Mm.
I hope that when all these deadbeat dads kiss off and leave this planet, they all end up in this room, and there's some Jesus comes to see them, and he's like, all right, guys, just hang tight. I'm going to go out, get a pack of butts. You guys need anything? Who wants a tall boy? I'm going to be back. I'm going to swing by Fatburger. I'll be back in about 10 minutes. And they just leave. And they just spend eternity never just sitting in the room.
With each other.
Looking out the window. You seen Jesus? I thought I saw the Jesus mobile drive by, but it was just Moses.
It was Bishop Don Juan.
Coming any day now. Years go by. And once in a while, there's a little knock on the door. You screw with him a little while. Knock on the door. Oh, that's kind of it. You just show up, and it's just some low level private who died in World War II, like some doughboy in World War I or something. He's wrong address, and he leaves, and everyone just sits back down again. That's what I hope. Wouldn't that be great?
Mm. Yeah, and then
constantly disappointed, constantly long. Then they start talking. Jeez, I wonder what we did wrong. Start blaming each other.
Yeah,
if I could have been better, I think Jesus would have come back with those butts and those fat burgers. But I must have done something wrong.
They offended him.
They start blaming themselves, and then they start infighting.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then in 10 years, they'd be ripping each other.
Yep. Right. And then, as a real goof, we send some guy in the Jesus mobile just to pull up the driveway, and he has that ba-da-da-da-da horn that's real recognizable, and they all rush to the window, but it's just some bum Jesus paid $10 to drive the Jesus mobile up the driveway, just a goof on him. That's going to be great.
Christine, 19. Christine?
Yes?
What's up?
Oh, I was wondering how I would go about telling my parents that I have an STD.
What STD?
Genital warts.
How old are you?
19.
Why would you even...
This is bogus.
Don't tell them.
Why would you even consider telling your parents that?
Well, if she's going to have sex with dad, she's got to use a condom now.
I see.
No. I wouldn't tell them, but I'm on their insurance, and I need a treatment. Oh. And the insurance has to cover it, and they're going to be reading the bill anyways about it.
Well, are you living at home?
Yes.
You're not going to school?
I do go to school full-time.
All right. You go to your school, physical health services. Okay. And they will take care of it because over 30% of the students at your school has this problem.
Okay.
It's as common. It's the, probably the most common thing they will see there.
Or go to a free clinic.
Yeah.
Better yet, the college.
What, do you go to regular university?
A technical school.
Really? No. What are you studying?
Fashion design.
Hmm. Is that what you hope to do?
Yes.
All right. All right, well, good times.
Cool.
What do you want to design for? Anyone?
Bras.
What's that?
I want to actually start my own line. I want to design bras.
Bras.
The Wizard
I love
of bras.
Breasts, too. What? Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, so they're more comfortable and more supportive.
You're a big gal? You got big jugs?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's good. Warts are a little, that slowed me down a little, but the jugs, that can reel me back, right back in. Yeah. And how big are you?
H.
H?
Yes.
H. Really?
That's
H?
A third of the way through the whole.
Well, she's a bra expert. She should be able to straighten you out on this cup size thing.
Okay, let's get on this once and for all, right, Christine?
Okay.
Some clarity. Now,
or maybe she could establish the ultimate scale.
Yeah, there's, I get these magazines and they're like, "Oh, she's an R cup and stuff like that." I know that's nonsense. That's just written to, well, it works actually, but you got your A cup, right?
Uh-huh.
B, C, then you go D, then you go double D.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you could go triple D.
You can go triple D, yes.
Yes. And then there's an E.
All right. But there's no, is there a double E? I don't think there is.
I don't think there is either, because then it goes to F and G.
So why does D, is there a hold up at D?
Yeah, here's my thing. What kind of cockamamie sense does this make? Yeah, A, B, C, and then three of one letter, and then you continue on with the alphabet. We don't have enough letters? Can't we just be three letters down the road?
I guess so. I don't know.
Well, you're the expert, and you're going to create the new scale.
Yeah, so what did you say? Did you say you're an H or a J or?
An H.
Wow, so that's way up. That's way up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty mammoth, right?
Yeah, they're pretty big.
How big is the rest of you?
I'm a 36H, and then I'm proportioned for my height and everything. I'm not overweight or anything.
Oh,
36.
36.
Left. Huh?
Wow. Yeah, man, that just sounds like mammoth cans on you.
Bouncy, bouncy.
How much you weigh?
160.
Wow, you're a lot of woman. Nothing wrong with that.
I'm like 6 feet tall.
Wow. I kind of like that. How big areolas?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How big you think? Saucer size? Silver dollar?
Frisbee?
They're
pizza.
Bigger than a silver dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's...
Coffee mug?
Pretty big.
About the bottom of a coffee mug?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, like the used Miss Coasters. All right, baby. Well, hey, keep on. You're doing God's work.
Here's the deal. Right. The genital warts, again, can put you at risk for cervical cancer, so it is important you get regular pap smear. Your health services there at school, I'm sure, will deal with this. At least 30% at a fashion school. Adam, come on.
Mm-hmm.
30% with genital warts, right?
Okay.
So, when you're with a guy, does he just focus on the cans?
it depends on the guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be right set my sights.
They're usually like, oh my God.
That's great, right? You
they
like
can't
that.
Believe
though.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get a kick out of it.
Yeah, it's good times. I'm that way with my penis, but the opposite.
They say, oh my God.
Yeah, they're shocked. They're shocked, all right.
And then, Christine, if you do have to go to a service where you're going to be using insurances, they can affect the codes can be, manipulated a little bit so it doesn't have to read on the EOB. And how your parents read the EOB every time?
Really?
Yeah.
What is the EOB?
EOB is explanation of benefits.
I see. And it says what kind of medication was bought or whatever?
It says what was paid for, what the insurance company paid for, office visit, pap smear.
Right.
And there might be a diagnosis in there with it.
All right. Well, maybe they shouldn't. All right, what the hell? Who cares?
But you can tell
I can't get over that H cup.
I know.
That's a lot of woman there, though.
Yeah.
6 foot, 160, 165. It's got to be 175. Each one of those jugs got to be at least 40 pounds. She likes it, though. But here's the thing. Oh, she has a fashion show? All right. We'll take a little break. James Marsters is here. and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We'll be right back. Buddy Loveline, I'm Adam Carolla, it's Dr. Drew. James Marsters is our guest tonight. You know him as the sexy and mysterious Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Hello there.
He, in his band, God willing, will be at the Knitting Factory this Saturday and Sunday out here in Los Angeles. So if you want
and
to check that out.
And it will be fabulous because it has to be. It's rock and roll, man!
Julia?
Yes?
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I have
I heard smoke detector.
Smoke detector going off there.
What's that?
I keep talking.
First of all, I want to say that I love you guys and I listened to you for a long time.
Thank you.
Where are you from, Julia?
I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah, but before Brooklyn.
Okay, I'm from Russia.
Russia, okay.
Russia, yeah. All right.
Me and my boyfriend, we had anal sex, and after that, I've been having, some problem over there, you know, in the anal entrance, you know.
Anal entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gateway of the world.
Yeah. And it's like rashy, or it's like itchy, and... sometimes it's bleeding. I don't know what to do. And it's like...
Okay, hold on one second.
The crevice? The crack? Yeah, the crevasse?
Yeah.
Is eating?
It's like...
bleeding?
Like burning or something.
Burning?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how many times did you guys engage in this?
Just once.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard me do Tim the Russian Rapper?
No.
Well, you'd probably enjoy that. Yeah.
And you're bleeding now?
No, just sometimes when I go.
All right. You know any Russian guys named Tim?
No.
Yeah, it's a bad name for a Russian kid because this kid had a thick Russian accent. It was a Catholic big brother. He was one of the kids I would take out. I would say, what's your name? And he'd say, Team. And I'd say, Team? And he'd go, no, not Team. Team. And I'd say, yeah, like team, like a basketball team? No, not team. Team. Like, yes, you're saying exactly the same word twice, you understand. Yeah, like Magic Johnson. He used to play on a basketball team? No, team. Yeah. And he would rap. Maybe I'll bust some of that rap for you. You want me to bust some of that Russian rap for you, Julia?
Sure.
All right, let me see. I have to edit myself. He had two of them. He had.
Can you do it, Anderson? Anderson will do it.
Anderson will do it?
Yeah.
Good, I'll do it. Then you'll get all the swear words. You ready?
All right.
Beaches ain't shit, but hoes and tricks suck on these balls and leak on these. This is one rap. Big fat kid. About 10 years ago, I was into this. And here's the other one. I got the back on like John McEnroe. That the beach steps up, I'm smocking the hole. Yeah. It's a tough kid, yeah.
Julia, any anal bleeding, rectal bleeding, needs to be seen by a doctor, okay?
Uh-huh.
You probably got a tear, maybe a fissure or a hemorrhoid. You can get some Anusol cream and use that, something like that. It might cool things down a little bit. Hot baths are good, but it does need to be seen by a doctor.
Yeah, but regular doctor?
Regular doctor's fine. Or gynecologist, too, whichever. All right?
All right, baby.
Thank you.
Good
so
time.
Much.
Right, good time.
Make them be gentle.
You love this country?
I love this guy.
That's my girl.
New York.
That's my girl.
Take care now.
Yeah. Kid was morbidly obese when he was about 13. And the thing that was great is, I know you know this, Drew,
yeah.
but maybe some people haven't heard this. So my Catholic little brother, Nate, was about 13. And did you saw Nate? Well, when he was about 19, maybe,
yeah.
or something. But Nate at 13 was...
spindly.
Nate Spindly would have been kind. You know, elbows wider than the arm, knees wider than the leg, you know. Yeah. Had the lazy eye, you
olive
know.
Oil.
Yeah, really. I mean, the kid was won about 108 pounds. And
but he's
just
rapping. He's still putting it
no,
up.
No, this is Nate.
Oh,
Nate is a white guy who is not rapping. Team is the morbidly obese guy.
White guy.
white Russian guy is rapping. But one time when I was driving him to Magic Mountain after a team had just got done spilling 64 ounces of Dr. Pepper in my Zuzu. You know, it's like they bring home a huge tub, a huge super mega big gulp, and then bring it in the car and then try to get in the back seat. Next thing you know, the whole thing capsized. Like, you open the door, water's flying out of the car. It's like you pulled it out of the river.
Well, no lid is going to hold that structure with it's that big. It's
no, because that's right. There's 14 pounds of liquid in this thin wall cardboard thing with a snap lid on. It's not going to work mathematically. Yeah. But anyway, after we mopped that up with about 70 paper towels, we're driving and they're both lamenting their lot in life. They were like, they were in their first year of high school. They're like 14. They're like, they went to Beverly Hills High, which it just couldn't be worse. Like, both their parents had no money, but they just moved into the jurisdiction and had like six kids in a crappy apartment, you know, but technically was close enough so they could go. But, you know, you want your kid to go to Beverly Hills High and everything, but
not on the bottom rung.
Not when you got Matthew Perry, Luke Perry and these guys, you know, not when you got the cast of 90210. Walking around and you're just some, you know, you're wearing Sears tough skins, right, and a wind-up beanie.
I would have been bitter for the rest of my life. Well,
they probably are. So anyway, we're driving to Magic Mountain, and Nate was saying, we don't get any girls, and none of the girls will talk to us. And Team was like, oh, those beaches will not talk to us. You know, what is up? We should bust cap in them and stuff. You know, that was it. So I turn around, and I said, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, these girls are right. They're absolutely right. I mean, there's no way these guys are going to get laid, ever, you know. No. And so I took a gulp. I said, it's all going to change next year. It's all going to change because you'll be in the 10th grade, and you have a whole new crop of 9th graders coming in there, and you'll be big man on campus. And about halfway into the speech, Team piped up, and he said, who are you kidding? Nate is too skinny, and I'm too fat.
What are you kidding?
And I was like, yeah.
I tried, kids.
Yeah. Think how fat you would be if you drank that 180 ounces of Dr. Pepper, by the way. All right.
The month supply.
Let's talk to Lauren, who's 15.
Hi.
Hey.
Actually, this is a question for James, who I love and adore.
Hey, Lauren.
Hi.
I get so embarrassed when people say that, but I dig it too.
I was wondering about Juilliard.
Yeah.
What was it like, and why did you leave?
Hell on Earth.
You went to Juilliard, that's right.
Yeah, I went to a good acting program before that, thank God. Juilliard was not a good program when I went there, and I really can't pretend to say that. they kicked me out.
Did you?
Told me I should not be an actor.
Was it really difficult to get in?
Very difficult, yeah. Yeah, the movie,
what was the process to get into Juilliard?
You audition, and you have to write an essay.
And is it a multiple audition process?
It lasts the afternoon.
And but didn't you get lots of referrals and testimonials from...
And
how old were you when you got in?
19.
And so...
And it was like oil and water. I stood up in the first play and told everybody when we were rehearsing it that it was a piece of crap and we better get going or we're going to bore everybody to tears.
Right.
And then people didn't like that.
And they
thought I was an asshole. But I'd come from a place where we didn't bore the audience so bad all the time.
Where was
it? Professional place, PCPA in Santa Maria in Solvang. It's a really good professional theater.
It's not where Drew came from, obviously. He came from Boorsville, right?
Yeah.
They actually, people were chastised for entertaining, were they not?
Yes.
He was the number one bore of his class.
Of course.
Valedictorian. All right, but, okay, so you, now what was, Juilliard, were most of these people, what age? I always thought, like, this is high school and college age?
College and graduate school.
It's
18 and above, pretty much?
Yeah.
There's no one there 16.
They like to get them 17 if they can. They like to get them as young as possible because they're brainwashing people, basically.
And is it a four-year?
Yeah.
And it's full-time. I mean, you're there, like, you're doing, like, you're fencing and movement and improv. I mean, you're doing everything
except acting.
Mm-hmm. Really?
The actual acting classes were almost non-existent. It was like, this is not an acting college. This is a speech college.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So they booted you out after a year, or how
long? No, 2 years.
2 years.
Oh, yeah, they were brutal.
They said, yeah, don't be an actor. You'll just get bitter.
Really?
Yeah. I said, well, I've been acting since the fourth grade, and every time I get in front of an audience, it's really pretty good. And, I mean, I was doing well before I met you guys, so I think I'll go back to do that.
Well, and it all worked out.
Yeah, after a while. It took me a while, though. I bartended.
He did get bitter,
while.
Of course. But
yeah, I really did. Well, I've been kind of, you know.
Still bitter, yeah.
I thought Juilliard was like, you know, the end-all, be-all. It'd be like a grade-A actor.
It is. It is. Program,
but it's a big lie.
I got kicked out of Groundlings when I was like 23 and thought, this is it. Mm-hmm. The world's over now.
Does that answer your question about Juilliard? Don't go there. Yeah.
All right, Lauren.
Good music programs.
Yeah, great music program and a great dance program too, but not for theater. Plus, there's no air in that building because there's big Stradivariuses up on the fourth floor and they can't get any oxygen in there. You just die, seriously.
Oh, really?
You go to sleep. You go in there, and 20 minutes after you go in the building, you get very sleepy, and if you go out to lunch, you get waked up again.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. And they cannot.
They have to control the environment for the Stradivariuses. Mm-hmm. Did he just do violins, or did he do, like, cello? Did he do any cellos or anything? It's all violins. Drew, what do you know?
May have done a viola or two, but not
he got high one day and made a viola.
They sucked, you know, you know.
So they have a bunch of them upstairs, like,
yeah,
I mean, a million.
They got so many, yeah. It's just
they must have to guard those things.
Yeah,
I mean, those things can be worth $1 million a piece or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're like Ferraris. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
I don't really know, but yeah,
that's interesting though that they had to keep the place sort of sealed off and not let the moisture.
Couldn't let any of that oxygen in. That damning, you know, oxygen that could.
All right. Calm down now, James.
Sorry, I got angry there.
Become too cathartic for you. James Marsters is our guest tonight. He's Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So take that, Juilliard. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. James Marsters is our guest tonight, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He goes by the name of Spike on that show. James is going to be playing with his band at the Knitting Factory this Saturday and Sunday, this weekend out here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. James, I noticed your knuckles were red, like you'd been socking a refrigerator or something,
man.
Like
you, that's just,
did you get in a fight?
No, and this is just makeup. I got in a fake fight. I was fighting Eric again in a big foam suit when he looked like a big, big demon.
I see.
Yeah, I think I have like a blood coming out of my ears still. I was, you know, I drove
that's,
home.
Hold on, that's from Drew's opera. Take headphones off when he sings.
Dude, rock. No, I forgot to take off. I often get beat up on the show, and I was driving home one night, and I had just had blood all over my face, and the cops stopped me and just, you know, flashlights in, and they had a hard time believing it was makeup.
They did a good job. Look at the knuckles.
I know, it looks amazing.
Good. Yeah, it looks good.
Looks like you went at it. All right, let's talk to Annie, who's 20 years old. Annie?
Hi!
Hey!
I just wanted to say, James, you're cute, and I love you.
Thank you, Annie. I'm picturing you very cute, too.
I hope so. Yeah. Everyone says so. Ooh. But I have a theory on the bra scaling thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just think back before we had breast implants and those huge boobs we see on, I don't know,
my TV show
and
right.
stuff like that.
Minka.
The natural boobs would come up to like A, B, C, D, and then people started getting bigger boobs and hormones would be coming in and they'd have to do double Ds and then triple Ds and then...
Number one?
Yeah, that's Minka, the number one Asian big boob queen. But Annie, here's the problem with your theory. We're not questioning breasts being big enough to fill the bra. We're asking if we had something. Let's forget about. I got an idea, and here's how you're going to know it doesn't make any sense. Let's put a number to it. Number one is an A. Number two. Mm-hmm. Number three. Number four. Number four. Number four. Number four. Number five. Number six. Number seven. But that doesn't make any sense, right?
What she's saying is that when they began creating a scale for bras, no one ever imagined an E, F, or G.
I know, but that's ridiculous because there's always been naturally big breasted women. Old Jewish broads in the turn of the century with those huge big mama jug cans and stuff. I mean, yeah. You want some time alone, James?
Yeah. I think that it's because most women would want to be the medium size, is the D, right?
Yeah, so maybe it's psychologically they get to stay there.
Yeah, they don't want to be bigger than that.
Like, we all want to wear, we all want to, all guys I know who are about my age and about my size, they want to stay in their 34 pants, right? So yeah. So we just make 34, 34, 34, 34. They keep getting bigger. They're really
wide.
It's really a 38 yeah. at this point, but I can walk around saying, I wear 34.
Loose I'm fit, more, I'm, 34.
I'm morbidly obese, but I'm sporting a 34. Right? Maybe it's that. That's a good theory, James. I'm going with that. True doesn't seem to be a fan of it.
I somehow have a feeling that a male came up with this scale.
Could be.
And I don't know that somehow that anything above a double or triple D was something sort of like it couldn't possibly be appealing anymore to a guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Somehow the D scale was
I don't know, but guys like big cans. There's a reason. There's a reason here, and I got to get to the bottom of this. It's been a quest of mine for many years. That and what's my other one? I want to be I want to have my hands registered somewhere.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Oh yeah. So you could just say that.
Yeah, I'm registered.
Yeah, I'm registered.
And it'd be great. I'd be driving through that town. I'd be going. We're going to Hearst Castle. Yeah, I got to go through Nevada. Whoa, why? I got to check in with the sheriff. That's the way I drive.
My hands
check
are
in. I'm registered. Yeah. Coming in town. Just passing through. Going to San Francisco. Just driving through. I know I got to check in by law because I'm registered. That'd be great. Like
I'm a what?
Chick in the passenger seat.
Oh yeah.
A little business, baby. Just got to check in. We're cool. All right, go ahead, Michelle. What's up?
Hi.
Hey.
Adam, you're awesome.
Thanks.
Okay, but anyway. I'm 24, and I wanted to know, my boyfriend and I, we've been together for like 5 years, and our relationship, like sexually, is like really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have like a website and do the whole like internet, you know, strip thing.
You did?
And for like almost 5 years.
You were just stripping on it?
I mean, it was just like a personal site, just me.
For 5 years you had that site?
For 4 years.
From when to when? What age?
No. From 19 is when I started, like, working for another company doing it. And then gradually, you know, I started doing it out of my house, and then I got my own site. So now I didn't have my own site for 4 years.
So you were a virgin and doing stripping?
No. I was a virgin. I lost my virginity at 19.
And you said you started doing the stripping at 19.
Right.
All right.
You were a virgin?
No, so this is my point. I lost my virginity right after high school. All through high school, I was like, you know, didn't experiment, didn't do anything.
Right.
So I started working at this place and then kind of just went crazy sexually. Like,
yeah.
Not crazy, like just experimenting. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like,
but you still had the same boyfriend?
Well, yeah, but we haven't had the healthiest relationship. Like,
breaking up and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Okay, and how do these, when you were doing your own website, you would get prescribed, people would prescribe to this website?
Subscribe
I mean. And and they would make, what was it, $10 a month or something? How does that work?
$9.90, between $10 and $15 a month.
And so if you did this, then you would get you doing a striptease, a new one every day, or
they would just they would just get access to like picture galleries and like my journal and like just a bunch of
your journal,
like nonsense, me like sending messages to like getting to know the guys, whatever.
But how often would you post new nude pictures of you?
Like maybe once every 6 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, I would put up a new gallery, but. With the membership, they would get, like, 2 one-hour live cam shows.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And then access to a whole network of other girls.
Nice. And the strip thing, you just put the camera, someone worked the camera, you just set it up?
I just had one of those cameras that was, like, a remote control tripod deal.
And you just get in a room and you just do a striptease, huh?
Just in my bedroom, yeah.
Just get totally naked?
Yeah.
All right. Just curious.
And that's the thing. Like, I was so into... just getting crazy, like, for, the members or whatever, just because, like, that turned me on.
Right.
And, my boyfriend would see a lot of that. And then, like, the next night, he'd be like, okay, let's do that. And I don't know if it's him that I'm not sexually attracted to.
All right. Or... Well, I mean, there's energy and some issues here.
Severe, yeah.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing, when you got this kind of energy, it's game on or game off. either doing the webcam strip or you're just shut down and don't feel like having sex with your boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So what happened in the past? Any abuse?
No, never been raped, molested, touched. Sure.
Dad's okay. Everything's good. Dad's
yeah, awesome family.
Okay. Well, then. Once
I mean, I'm a little bit strict, but like not like where they beat me or anything.
Okay.
They never hit you.
No, never laid a hand on me.
Drew, what about, you know, we talk about 5% of the time. And she's not doing porno movies. She's
I never stripped in a club or anything.
She's titillating. Yeah, you got more guys on the web than you do in a club.
But this business.
Yeah, but I mean, they don't know me. Like, it's all like lies to get their money type of thing. You know what I mean? Like,
there's no person present.
Yeah, but okay.
But this is exhibitionism. Severe. I mean, like extreme exhibitionism.
Yeah.
With sexual deprivation in her real life.
Okay. So, but Drew, don't we always say that, you know, 90%, 95% of the time these things are born in the home and this and that. And then once in a while you just get somebody who's got a little wiring problem or something.
Yeah.
Maybe that's Michelle.
What is it? Like what else could it be like born in the home other than like sexual?
Well,
like,
if everyone was good to you and you weren't abused or neglected or sexually abused or anything, then this is you.
It's something. It's something in how you experience yourself sexually where there's sort of you're sort of segmented. The parts of yourself are walled off and disavowed, and you need to sort of integrate so you can actually have an intimate relationship. There, you've got some problems being close with someone, and that gets expressed through these extreme arousing means. Hmm. And the rest of the time, you're in this sort of anorectic phase.
Yeah, but let me say this. I know we're running late.
How dare you? Eating disorder.
Eating disorder?
Ask her. Did you have an eating disorder, Michelle?
Well, I did.
All right.
Yeah, see. Okay.
Okay, let me say this real fast, Drew. There's people like... you know, there's boxers who are very quiet, very soft-spoken. They move real slow. They don't do anything. And then they get in the ring, and they go nuts, and they start beating the crap out of each other. And then there's me, who seems sort of depressed and quiet when I'm walking around the house, and I don't talk. And then I go on stage, and I start yapping my ass off and yelling at everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Doesn't everybody sort of have that? I mean, this is her version of that sexually in a certain sense.
Yeah. If you're using yourself as an example of health, reconsider.
Thank you.
But she has an eating disorder, which is part of this kind of a syndrome.
Okay. Look into the eating disorder. A little therapy.
Yeah.
Man, boyfriend, been with him for 5 years. Maybe it's run its course.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, that's the week. I want to thank James for coming in here and tell everyone to watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer and go down to the Knitting Factory and see him and his band, Hawking Phlegm, on the first row. That's this weekend. I want to thank Tara, Don't Call Me Tara, goddamn, for doing a great job on the phones. Brian for doing a great job on the phones and the lead coffee all week long. I want to thank producer Ann for booking people like James and people like Queens of the Stone Age. Next week, are coming in here. And, of course, the magic-fingered one, the Liberace of the potentiometers.
Thank you, Adam, for being a dick.
Yay, Engineer Anderson. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I'm trying to do my best here under really difficult circumstances.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Dingle. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.